glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. We hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's April 8th, 2014. Recently, Wednesday and co-host Pastor Jason Schiffo and I had an important discussion with Anita Bendel. She's the executive director of ILCAP. That stands for Illinois Church Action on Alcohol and Addiction Problems. In light of the fact that there's a big vote coming up a week from today that the Muhammad Village trustees will be discussing on whether to bring video gambling and the various machines into the village of Muhammad. We recorded our conversation with Anita a few days ago, and I'll air that in its entirety in just a minute. But I want to make three announcements before you hear that discussion. Last night's rehearsal with the singing men of GNN was fabulous, as we're preparing for four upcoming presentations, one being held Sunday night, April 27th, so just about 3 weeks away at the Calvary Baptist Church in Monticello, Illinois. That's on West Center Street and Foothill. This is a free concert beginning at 7 p.m., Calvary Baptist Church in Monticello. As you may know, the first Thursday in May has been designated as the National Day of Prayer, and two gatherings I'd like to highlight that I hope many of you will attend. One is being held in Rantoul on the old Air Force Base at the Linden Banquet Center. There's a cost of $9, and the doors open at 6 a.m. for breakfast, and the program starts right at 6:30 and is done at 7:30 sharp. The guest speaker is yours truly, and the full breakfast being served includes hot biscuits and gravy, eggs, bacon, sausage links and patties, cinnamon sticks with syrup, juices and coffee. We'll be focusing on four main areas of prayer as a group: a prayer of thanksgiving, prayer for our nation, prayer for our local area and country, and lasting prayer for the church abroad and the proclamation of the gospel. That'll be happening Thursday morning, May 1st, breakfast at 6 a.m. at the Linden Banquet Center in Rantoul on May 1st. Cost is $9, and for more information, you can call Eric at 217-892-8620. 217-892-8620. Then that evening, on Thursday, May 1st, at 7 p.m. at the Vineyard Church in Urbana, 1500 North Lincoln Avenue, there'll be a special gathering of prayer, and special music will be provided by the Singing Men of GNN and the 2014 Champaign County National Day of Prayer All-County High School Choir. No cost to attend, but if you want to find out more, you can call 217-480-8671. 217-480-8671. Great News Radio listeners, these are important events that I sure hope you'll attend. And if you didn't have a chance to write those down, just stop by our website, greatnewsradio.org, and look at our events calendar page. Here's co-host Pastor Jason Schiffo introducing Anita on this, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends.
We just want to welcome this morning Anita Bendel, who is the executive director of ILCAP, which is the Illinois Church Action on Alcohol and Addiction Problems. Anita, welcome this morning to Great News Radio.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Anita, I want our listeners to know, I think that it's kind of slid in and people haven't had a chance to really understand what's happening within the community of Muhammad and the area here, but there is a proposal to bring video gambling machines into the community of Muhammad, and you have a lot of experience dealing with these issues and standing up. Can you maybe give us a little bit of your background so our listeners can understand what it is that you do and why we would call you and ask you to give us a hand in understanding this?
Well, I'm the executive director of Illinois Church Action on Alcohol and Addiction Problems, and our organization has been working to oppose the expansion of gambling in Illinois for 22 years. Hmm. We have been opposed to the video gambling right from the start, and we've gone to different communities and worked with local officials and community activists and churches and given them information and given them reasons why they should try to ban and keep video gambling out of their communities. It's because of worse gambling, and it has so many social problems connected with it because it's local people who will gamble and lose.
Hmm. And recently I know that video gambling has come into the community of the Champaign area, which is about 10 or 15 miles outside of our own community. Now, I just read the other day in the newspaper that on top of this video gambling coming in, that now they're trying to propose laws which would allow alcohol to be served in establishments that traditionally, I guess, we wouldn't even think about that happening, like gas stations and other establishments. How can this even happen?
It happens because the communities are looking for revenue, and so these new businesses are coming in. Their purpose is just to have video gambling machines because they're very lucrative for the machine owners and for the establishments. But the community only gets 5% of the losses from these machines, and the losses come from people gambling on the machines. It's possible for someone placing a $2 bet to lose $300 to $500 an hour. That's a lot of money.
You know, you mentioned the losses, and when I read an article in the News Gazette a couple of weeks ago about all this revenue, and they were praising this neat and unique way to gain all these funds for the schools and so forth, I'm like, I looked at it, and I looked at it again and thought, wait a minute, these are life savings of people that are being lost. This is not like a great thing, you're building some great item that people are buying that's useful and helping, you know, tend their lawn or improve their lifestyle or whatever. This is savings that are lost. These are people's paychecks that are leaving them. These revenues are created because of loss. And I thought, this is not good.
Right. And for the city of Mahomet to get $5,000 in revenue from the machines, local people have to gamble and lose $100,000.
Now, I have a question for you, because there's a couple of things that in that, I know that some literature that I read recently said that roughly, say, on $100,000, 35% of that goes to the owner of the establishment in which the machines are in, 35% go to the gaming company itself, 25% to the state, and then, as you already alluded to, 5% comes back to the community. In that, do the owners of the establishments pay for the machines, or is the 35% that handshake or exchange for putting the machines in the establishment?
The terminal operators own the machines, and the bars and establishments will have the machines in those establishments. So they do not own the machines. The terminal operators do.
So the 35% is that exchange for putting them in there. It's almost like a rental fee.
Right.
And so of that 35% or that goes in there, what does this do, say, to a community in terms of, I was wondering, somebody had mentioned to me that you see the number of bars and establishments like that multiply in your community the minute that this door is opened, because it is such an easy revenue gainer for the establishment. 35% back to an owner of a bar, is that's a huge amount of revenue.
Yes, it is. And what we're seeing is other businesses are coming in just to be video gambling parlors. There's a flower shop in northern Illinois that now has video gambling. There's a scuba shop that has video gambling machines. There's a pool supply company. Even a baseball team has video gambling machines in their stadium. So a lot of businesses that ordinarily would not have gambling at all are applying for a liquor license just so they can have the machines and get more revenue.
So what does that do, say, to a community like Mahomet? Because we found out yesterday that right now within our code there is no ceiling for liquor license. I mean, right now there's no, we can only have this many liquor license in Mahomet.
Well, that means that you could have any number of new businesses coming in just for the video gambling. We've seen this in a lot of communities already where the number of liquor license has increased dramatically.
Yeah, and I think there's a huge irony here, and I know, Jason, at some point we're going to talk about false hopes and biblically how we can look at this, because though we're focusing on Mahomet, this is going to be happening in all the other smaller communities. I know Fisher went through this, and Danville and other communities, you know, are either embracing it or have approved it. But isn't it ironic that these places where there's gambling, there's also alcohol, so you can have like a skewed mindset, or people are drunk or not thinking clearly and are taking the paycheck that would go towards their family or food or their budget and being spent recklessly because they're under the influence of alcohol. I mean, it's like you're setting yourself up for the perfect storm.
Well, and there's a problem, because problem gamblers are 23 times more likely to have a gambling problem. So here you're putting the machines in a place where people are already impaired. And then when they start to gamble after they've been drinking, they will gamble until all of their money is gone.
Mm.
So So there's a real problem there. And the way the law was set, they couldn't have the machines unless they had a license to pour alcohol.
Mm.
So it's really a disaster waiting to happen.
One of the things that came out of a conversation with my wife last night as we were talking about this is I think that Champagne, in an article regarding the video gambling, had disclosed that $6 million already had come from the community into this, which is, for me, is just wretched to hear that $6 million worth of people's, Mark already said, life savings, income. And these are not people in high-income brackets. These are people who are hoping to hit it big somehow because they're struggling. Does the video gaming companies disclose the payout? So we know that Champagne has spent, the people of Champagne have spent $6 million towards this. Do we understand even what the payout is back towards the people?
It's set by law that it can only be at a certain limit. But the problem is with the video gambling, they call it the churn factor, that once people start gambling, they will ultimately lose.
Mm.
So it doesn't matter what the pay factor is. But the longer they play, the more they're going to lose.
As a parent, there's a question here that really disturbs me, and I have no clarity on it, so I'm hoping you can help me with it. Say an establishment that pours alcohol but also predominantly serves food that's in a neighborhood, kids would go in and out of it. What stops a kid from using a video gambling machine?
Well, you're supposed to be 21 to gamble on the machine, but a lot of times they'll have a separate area. Sometimes they'll just put a table in front of it. They just have to have someone who's over 21 watch the entrance to make sure that children do not go into that area. But, you know, underage drinking is a big problem in Illinois, and underage gambling is also. So when you put it in family establishments, then it becomes familiar, it becomes normal for children. So they're already growing up on video games. And this is labeled as video gaming. We know it's gambling, but they have the false name for it. So it just makes it more normal and more acceptable for children who grow up with video games.
I don't want to get too political, but who drives this? Is the driver for this the establishment seeking video gaming in their establishment? Is this the gaming companies, or is this ultimately the state, too, who can gain 25% of the revenue from this?
Well, it started out with the coin machine operators. They are the ones who wanted it. And then in 2009, it was sold to the legislators as a way to fund capital construction. Then they said this is not about gambling. It's all about revenue. And that's how it came in. And so once you have it in, now you have establishments who are pressuring communities that have laws like Muhammad against the video gambling. They're putting pressure that they have to have it so that they'll be in competition with the other communities. So then the local community gets pressure from bar owners. They get pressure from the operators. So it's just a never-ending issue that will not be resolved. And like I said, the community will not begin to get enough revenue to cover the social problem.
Yeah, it's a destructive cycle that only brings more crime, more everything from prostitution to more gambling to alcohol-related accidents and on and on and on. I mean, the social impact is huge. And in fact, I can personally testify, I did a lot of research many years ago when I had our little Tootsie Pop displays in area businesses. And actually behind the coin-operated machines, and Illinois has a huge history where the syndicate used to have all the cigarette machines, the corn-operated machines, which led into pinball machines because it was cash and carry. And millions of dollars could go underreported from these coin-operated machines because nobody could really determine what is the exact amount of these coins that come in. And the syndicate ruled in Chicago. Obviously, our listeners would be very familiar with that and the cronies and the things that went on behind the scenes. But it all started with the coin-operated machines because it would collect thousands of dollars. Even the people that owned businesses that had pop machines out in front of their, say, their grocery store, and hundreds of dollars would come in each week, and they wouldn't report it. I mean, there was a lot of dollars, and I think just the syndicate has had their hands in this gambling progression throughout Illinois and the country for many, many years. And it doesn't bring anything good to the community, does it?
Well, we're just starting to see some crime coming up. When people gamble all the money that they have, then they borrow money, and then they'll turn to crime. So there have been burglaries of some of these video gambling machines in southern Illinois and northern Illinois, and they've done studies in other areas where they have video gambling. They found about 60% of the people that are playing these machines are addicted.
Mm-hmm. On April 15th at 5:45, the trustees of Muhammad are going to meet to discuss and ultimately, I think, decide on this issue. What is something that our listener, the average person living in a neighborhood in the community of Muhammad, what can they do, Anita?
What they can do is attend that meeting, or else they can make phone calls to your mayor and your village trustees, because video gambling will change the culture and the look of your community for decades to come. Once it comes in, it would be very difficult to get out.
Now, somebody may say, yeah, but it's being allowed in this community, this community, this community. We want to get our share of the revenue. How can you persuade them to say, you know, you need to stop the tide? This is not a godly influence. In fact, this is creating false hopes. And I know, Jason, you and other area pastors recently met and talked this all through. But what can we say to them? No, just because it's in other communities, it's not healthy. It's not good to come to Muhammad. Or somebody listening and they're thinking, hey, I've heard stirring of our city council starting to think about this. So they should come to this Muhammad meeting, get more informed, and hear some of the arguments against why they don't want to bring gambling to their community.
Right, and they should go into communities that have video gambling and look at all the billboards, the flags, the signs. And it's going to come to the point where people are going to not go to these establishments because they have video gambling. They're going to be looking for a place where they can eat in peace and quiet. So your community, with all the parks and the area around it, it's going to change with video gambling, and it's not going to change for good. It's going to deter from the people who would come there.
I know my father-in-law, which we share, I know you helped my father-in-law with this issue in his town in Chillicothe, and he is passionate about this and has seen firsthand what it does to people and what it does to community. So from my heart to yours, Anita, I want to thank you for the things that you're doing and the ways that you're standing up and against this. And I want, from a biblical understanding, our listeners to know that the reason that we're even addressing this on a Christian radio station is because we believe with all our heart that there is only one hope. Colossians tells us that Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we believe that there is only one hope, and that hope is Jesus Christ. And that apart from Jesus Christ, all other hopes, whether it's gambling or pornography or any other of these kind of ills in society, those places where we would attempt to find hope, that we will just end up finding desolation, we'll end up finding death, and we'll end up finding ultimately sin. And we need to stand against all of those things and put everything that we have in one hope, and that one hope is Jesus Christ. And I think that's why the area pastors have stood up and stood firm and said, you know, we are not going to take this sitting down, because this is not just a revenue issue. This is not just a moral community issue. This is not just a social issue. We believe this is a spiritual issue. Anita, can you close out our time and share with our listeners why this is a spiritual issue?
Well, because with gambling, it consumes the person. They no longer look to God for providing for them. They look at luck. They get so consumed with the gambling that nothing else matters to them. They'll do anything just to continue gambling. And so it hurts their spirit. It hurts their relationship with God. And it also makes them very poor. And the Lord tells us that we are to look out for each other. So this is something that harms the individual. It harms the family. And it's not something that you want to openly invite and allow into your community if you have a chance to speak up. So silence is consent. So now is the time for Christians to speak out and say what's on their hearts.
Well, I'm thinking, Jason, you know, you mentioned $100,000 has to be lost for a community to gain $5,000. And I was thinking when this was coming upon Danville some months back or last year, and why the mayor was promoting and other people, and I was thinking, you know, why can't we get creative to bring other kinds of jobs to the area? They said, oh, there'll be additional jobs created because of a casino being built and this. And I'm like, can't we bring some healthier businesses, or can't we get more entrepreneurial? You know, and so there's business people that have creative ideas. Don't go down the road of gambling. You're creating revenue on people's losses. It's terrible. It's a terrible concept.
Well, and they've done studies that there will be almost one new problem gambler for each video gambling machine that's brought into your community. And each establishment will have five, so that's five people right there that are going to be harmed. And so it's not something that it is good for the community. It will impact them, and it will harm them. It's not something that you want to do to your neighbors.
Well, Anita, the Bible tells us 29 times to look out for one another, to care for one another. And it's a mandate that Jesus himself shared with us. And so we just want to thank you, Anita, for the things that you're doing, the ways that you're standing with ILCAP, the Illinois Church Action on Alcohol and Addiction Problems, the way you're helping to gird communities and engage and equip us as pastors and lay people so that we can stand against this. And I just want to thank you for sharing this time with us today, and also just for sharing your life on behalf of God's mandate for people. For one anothering with people. You're one anothering with a lot of people, and so we just want to thank you for that.
Thank you. And if anyone would like to talk to us, they can call us at 217-546-6871. 217-546-6871.
Thanks, Anita.
Thanks, Anita.
Thank you.
I think there's an important upcoming meeting in Mahomet where our listeners can come out and learn more, and those certainly in the Mahomet area where this is a crucial gathering that they should be involved in and attentive to what's going on, because they could sway and convince the city council, hey, this is not good for our community.
There's two things you can do. On April 15th at 5:45 at the Village Hall, there is going to be the trustee meeting. It starts, as I said, 5:45 is when you sign in. The meeting starts at 6. We would love to pack that room full of people who are standing against this coming into our community. Look, at the village board doesn't necessarily get out and see each one of our faces. So let's give them an opportunity to see the faces of the people who say, no way, this can't come into our community. Part two that you can do is stop by a local area church and ask the pastor if you can sign the petition to preserve the ban on video gambling. Each pastor in the community has a copy of the petition.
Now, this is in Mahomet.
This is in Mahomet, any one of the area pastors in Mahomet. And they would love to have you sign that so that maybe you're not able to meet that meeting, but we can hand over the petition to say, look at how many people, these are all people in this community, individuals who are not willing to part with not only their hard-earned money, but the lives and the hard-earned money of their brothers and sisters who may fall into this pit of video gambling.
Dear listener, gambling is a false hope, not the road that we want to travel on. We serve a loving God who will provide for our needs. So let's turn to him and not try to win it big through gambling.
Yeah, you can definitely win it big, but that winning it big comes through Jesus Christ. That is your inheritance, the jackpot that's been offered to you free of charge by the grace of God.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.